RhinestoneWorld.com.
Richard Greaves with ScreenMaking.com.
Brian Walker with RTP Apparel.
This is Peter Walsh with M&R, and you're listening to the Two Regular Guys Podcast.
Podcast.
Hosted by
Terry Combs.
And
Aaron Montgomery.
Keep on listening.
I don't know if these guys are that regular.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. It is Friday, July 9th, 2021. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
Hi, everybody. I am not Aaron Montgomery. I'm Jay Bissell. I'm sitting in for Aaron. Again, this is so much fun. Both Aaron and Eric are being, I think they're VIPs, Terry. They're special guests at the DAC show. They're speaking in Kansas City today. And so guess who's back? This guy. So I'm also excited to say that Aaron will be checking in with us later at the show. So we better mind our P's and Q's. But in the meantime, Terry and I will be talking all kinds of fun. So wait, are we talking about things that are bad news on the internet? Good news on the internet?
We're not going to spread any bad information, Jay. We're trying to
eliminate some of the disinformation on the internet, right?
That's the plan anyway.
Like Sons and Four? How about that? Is that misinformation, Terry?
I don't think it is. I'm not certain, but I was watching the local news last night after the Suns victory. There it is, Suns. And that was the chant from the crowd behind the news crew is Suns in Four, Suns in Four.
I went to sleep last night. Suns in Four. Okay. We're probably getting carried away because there's not a lot of folks in Arizona there might be two or three that are watching the show, but we better move forward.
Yeah, they'll catch us later. So they might be saying to us, no, it was five, but still Suns. Next game Sunday night. But
I can't wait.
I'm hoping the boys, Aaron and Eric, weren't watching because I tripped over our intro. I thought it would go live faster. That's the only thing that Aaron and I didn't practice. I haven't run the board in like 2 years, so
you're the man.
We had a practice session.
Terry, you are in charge. So any screw ups, I want everyone to know that guy. That guy, Terry.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway. There's Dale noticed countdown shenanigans. So
countdown shenanigans. Leave it up to Terry.
Yeah. But good morning, everybody that is joining us live. And you know, Jay, as I mentioned, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but we most of our listeners, well over 90%, are listening to us or watching us later on, or listening to us on podcast version in their shop. Right. So hello to all you folks as well.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being an awesome regulator.
Exactly. All right. Well, Jay, let's do a couple of news items. And I ran across this. I thought it was kind of interesting because I know both these companies. GSG has acquired McBee's Supply. And I know you're familiar with those guys.
Oh, wow.
As well.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
It is. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I ran across this last night. But GSG, for anybody who doesn't know, is a supplier of screen, digital, sign equipment, and supplies for the industry. And they have announced the acquisition of the assets, the business, and the employees. That's good to hear. From McBee Supply in Houston. And the transition happened on July 6th. And Mike McDonald, who's the president of McBee, who facilitated this entire acquisition, is retiring once everything wraps up. And he said, I know GSG well and respect them as a good, fair, and solid competitor. Again, quoting Mike, this was a good opportunity to transition McBee employees. We are all familiar with each other. Our lines overlap, and we know this is a positive move for the McBee employees. So interesting news. And, you know, Jay, it's, you know, when we go do trade shows, and especially now that, we've had a year off, I know you do this. I know we all do it. When you run into one of your trade show friends, you glance down at their name tag to see where they're working these days.
it's sad but true, and it's been the case for both of us on a couple of occasions.
Just at the last show, I was walking down the aisle chatting with somebody, and he goes, hey, you know, I don't work there anymore. And he showed me his badge. I'm like, oh man, I should have looked.
I know that feeling when you're like, uh-oh, who is this again? It's Terry, right? Terry with anyway Well, listen, I think it's a great move. Super cool that the employees get to transition. And, you know, the folks in the greater Texas, greater Houston area all know McBee. So I'm sure they're looking forward to having a new strong relationship with GSG.
Yeah. Now, if anybody from GSG is listening, I'm that guy in the back of the hall that when you guys do that cheer at the beginning of the show, GSG, I'm the guy who yells, yeah, you know me.
And he does it every time.
So I can't help it.
You can't help it. It's a tradition now. If you weren't to do it, people would think something else is wrong. You
know, they're like, where's that guy?
Isn't there a second part to this? Amazing.
So you're participating in an event upcoming, right?
I am. So I'm excited to be able to announce this because, for one, I am participating in it. But more importantly, it's a great event. So Shirt Lab has announced a Fort Worth, Texas show, and they're doing both an in-person show and simultaneously it will be streaming live for those who can't be in person. So you know the Shirt Lab founders, Tom Round and Marshall Atkinson. They have opened the registration so you can get your tickets. The dates are September 12th through the 14th. It's kind of a big deal. It's a meetup. It's a conference. It's a get to hug your neighbor. I mean, I'm excited to start to do, as you can tell, in-person events again. But they focus everything, as you know, Terry, on education. For our decorated apparel industry, they do an amazing job of getting great speakers. Definitely, I'm not pointing the finger at me. Everyone else who's there is committed and are subject matter experts. So don't forget that takes place in Fort Worth at the Fort Worth Community Arts Center. It's going to be immediately after, so there's no overlap, no conflict. It's going to be after the Impressions Expo show in Fort Worth. So 2 days, lots of speakers, sales, marketing. You know, I've met, I don't know if you've met Ken Seidel, but Ken, this guy is great. He's an industry veteran. He, knows a lot about sales. He's going to emcee the event. And so let me run down the list, Terry, if I might, a few of the folks that are featuring. Yeah. Tom Round, obviously, Jason Rink, who I've heard speak. We heard Jason at, ThreadX, the last.
ThreadX, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Jason was great. Jonathan Tynes, Eric Campbell, our own Eric Campbell, Brittany Long, leading sessions and roundtables and discussions and so on and so forth. So two great days. Keynote speaker, guess who? Drumroll, please. The king of sales, Jeffrey Gittimer. That's right. Jeffrey's going to lead a discussion on sales for the Shirt Lab tribe members. So day two is also a big deal. Marshall, Michelle Moxley, Richard Greaves, Mark Coudray's there. Keynote speaker. Again, I just want to say I will be not the keynote speaker, but I am on the I'm on the schedule.
All-star cast there.
So you add up those folks, it's going to be a big deal event. I would definitely invest in myself, invest in education, and I just want to let people know that this is a worthwhile event. It really is.
Yeah, I noticed that Brett Bowden's having an event tied in with this at his new location. Jay, I don't think you've been to the new location, have you?
I haven't. I'm really excited to be able to hang out with Brett and Brett's crew. It's so much fun. The last time we were there together, we went to his old shop, his old location, which was awesome. So
now busting at the seams, though. I'm glad they got the opportunity to expand.
Yeah, they were
here, and then they were across the parking lot over there.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you beat me to it. It wasn't even in one location because they had kind of had to lease out a separate spot next to them. But now they're under one roof, big building, downtown Fort Worth. Super cool. I've been watching them since they got the location. So everything I know about them is from Instagram. I can't wait to see the progress, you know, and it's fun. It's a great event to be able to kind of hang out in someone's cool shop. And it's such a cool vibe.
You know, Jay, and here's a pro tip for everybody listening. In Brett's shop, Printed Threads, they have a swag wall. When you walk in there, they're like, "Oh, take anything." And they have like playing cards that say Printed Threads. I have a cool bottle opener that Brett modeled after his house key, because he goes, "There's bottle openers on your key ring are just so bulky." So he had a bottle opener modeled after his house key.
Yes.
Printed Threads on it.
And of course, we
filled our pockets, right?
I was going to say, we walked out with quite a bit of swag. I have a hat. I have a shirt. I have that same bottle opener. And the funny thing was, Brett was, of course, saying, "So, Jay, you're about a medium, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, no." I'm not Ryan Moore. Okay. This is
no schmediums.
This is double Eckes material right here. So, but I do want to say that there's a VIP dinner. So like you said, that's a separate event. So you'll have to probably upgrade or something. All of the details are online at shirtlablive.com. You can get your tickets. That's how you'll figure out how, if you want to virtually stream the event. So if you're not going to be in the area or you can't travel yet, so visit shirtlablive.com for all of the events. I can't wait. I'm super excited.
You know, a great success story is Tom Round in his screen printing embroidery as a brewery all up in Iowa. And I was interviewing him at Printed Thread, the very first Printed Threads. And Aaron and I were hosting the cocktail party. And I was interviewing
Thread X or Printed Threads? Printed Threads is the... Yeah, you said.
Oh, I meant. I'm sorry. Did I say Printed Threads?
Hey, Brett's going to be happy that you said Printed Threads again.
But you guys said my company name like 12 times. It was awesome.
Thanks for all the plugs, guys. You guys are so cool.
No, at ThreadX. And so here's a little note for anybody who's just getting started in the business. I asked Tom, hey, how did you get started? And he looked at me kind of funny, and he goes, I came to your class 10 years ago. So all those people who are out there saying, okay, here I am in my garage. Here's my equipment. I'm ready to take on the world. There's Tom Round is a perfect success story for somebody that said, hey, I want to print t-shirts. I'm going to go take a class. So
I love that. That's such a great story. He's the perfect example of a 8 to 10 year overnight success story.
Exactly. Man, yeah. I tell you what though, you can't be around him very long. He is always moving. He's always going, you know. He's always throwing out ideas and so
I know.
Great opportunity to listen to all those guys speak and you, Jay. So, those guys do a really great job with that event. But Jay, are you ready for my dad joke? I'm kind of proud of this one.
I gotta get in the right frame of mind. I gotta bring it down, Terry. Let's bring it down a little bit. Yes, I am ready for the dad joke. Well,
this is kind of based on somebody you and I met at a trade show who was working a booth near us, who was a flat earther. And I didn't realize those people really existed, but do you,
Terry.
All right, everybody out there, all you regulators, do you know why the flat earth people are wrong? Do you know, Jay?
Terry, I do not know. Well, I know they are, but there might be some more information. Well, why, Terry? Why are they wrong?
I have a really good reason. If the earth was flat, our cats would have pushed all our stuff over the edge by now. So there's proof.
Cats. Who knew?
Cats.
That's a dad joke.
All right, Jay, before we go any further, we want to thank everybody for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. We are always looking for new guests. So if you or anyone else would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2, the number 2, Regular Guys, and share your show ideas. If you are listening to the podcast version of our show, we would appreciate you sharing the Two Regular Guys with all your industry friends right now so they can become regulators too. And we would appreciate reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts. We are everywhere now, Jay.
He's taking over.
But we really would appreciate reviews on any of those. And if you're watching us live right now, please join in with your comments and questions, especially today, because we're going to be talking about misinformation on the internet. And right now, though, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor, Printing United.
2021 is the year of big changes, and the Printing United Expo dares you to think bigger for the future. As the unpredictable and uncertain events of the past year caused us all to reevaluate our businesses, the Printing United Expo is here to help you discover solutions for your apparel business. Taking place this October 6th to the 8th in Orlando, Florida, the Expo is set to host more than 1 million square feet of printing greatness. A cornerstone of this year's Expo will be the Apparel Zone, a space designed specifically for decorators to connect and learn from one another. A key part of this year's zone is an e-commerce-driven, direct-to-garment area where you can design and print your own expo-themed shirt E-commerce played such a critical role in supporting the decorating community during the pandemic, and we wanted to be sure to bring the latest in front-end and DTG solutions right to you. When in Orlando, be sure to meet up with your colleagues at the Zone's Cafe and Beer Garden. Stop by early to fuel up with some fresh coffee to sip as you walk the show floor, or head over in the afternoon to relax with some friends. And don't forget to swing by the podcast stage to hear from industry experts as they join some of your favorite podcasters for live interviews with the two regular guys, Print and Promo, Promo Marketing, and more. Register today at printingunited.com.
All right. We are at some point in time.
That was techno groove, bro. I was like, woo, get it on.
It's like the old Saturday Night Live days. Now we dance.
Now we dance.
All right, Jay. Well, our today's subject obviously is the bad information freely distributed around the information around the internet. And you know, Jay, have you ever heard somebody say, if you repeat something enough times that people start to believe it?
Yes, and I am familiar with that because it happens to us all the time.
Exactly. You know, and it obviously the same with garment decorating, product decorating. But here's my theory on this. A lot of what you see on the internet is, it should be titled, I couldn't get this to work, so here's the Band-Aid that I created. You can use that same Band-Aid. Rather than figuring out from the front end what I did wrong, let's just slap a Band-Aid on here and see if that won't stick.
I could not agree more. Or it should also have a second tab that says, all of this information may have been true 10 years ago. However, technology has moved slightly forward. So yeah, be sure to upgrade and check for current information.
Yeah. So, and also, unfortunately, there may be 1 or 2% of the information out there is being put out there on purpose to kind of mislead you, to steer you to one product or one piece of equipment or one technology or another. So, you know, I think we have 1 or 2 examples of that as well, but we're going to talk about screen printing. We're going to talk about direct to garment, which Jay and I are both very familiar with. We're going to talk about sublimation, which we are slightly less familiar with. And at the end, we're going to talk about embroidery. So hold your questions for Eric for next week on that one.
Pretty much. We're both going to hack our way through the embroidery section.
Embroidery. That was for our friend Matt Rome from Epson, who I just goad him into saying that word all the time. So, hey, Matt, what is it your wife does for a living? Embroidery.
We need to record that and we can create a loop. Just have Matt exactly. Say it again and again.
Drop it into our intro. We'll be talking screen printing. We'll be talking direct to garment. We'll be talking embroidery.
That would be sweet. Okay. You know, I'm getting off topic. That's my style. ADD. You know, you wouldn't know it was 8:18 in the morning, but after that Suns game, I'm still jacked up, Terry.
That was pretty awesome, man. If I watched the post game for 30 minutes afterwards, it must have been an awfully good game.
You know you're a homer when you're watching. Let's hear what Scott Van Pelt has to say about it. And you're like, they're just showing highlights of the game we just watched. But anyway, that's not what.
By the way, Ramona said that that they can help with embroidery questions.
Look at the way she spelled it out. Yeah, that's so great. Thank you, Ramona. That's perfect. Love it. Well, we better jump in, Terry. We've got some interview questions and answers, and screen printing is your domain, right?
I have been doing it for 40 plus years. So.
Well, first of all, congratulations. I do want people to know, as much as we joke around, as much as you might see us, I want to take a serious moment to say and tip my cap to Mr. Combs, who has taught thousands of people. And it was really fun for me to hear you talk about Tom Rowan, because I'll bet you there are 25 other stories just like that that you don't know about. And so you, my friend, have been an industry legend for as long as I've known you. From the moment we threw grapefruits at you from the other side of the parking lot at US Screen Print Institute.
Exactly right. Well, I appreciate that very much. That wasn't even in the outline, Jay.
No, it wasn't. That's why, you know, it was heartfelt and true. But we do need to cover some of this misinformation. And I know you're about ready to uncork the screen one, because I hear you talk about this all the time. And I think, what? You mean there's more than 110 mesh screens? Is that real?
Yeah, that's, you know, and it's funny, because if I weren't so close to the education end of it, I would have thought this had died out 30 years ago. But every screen printing class I do, someone says, well, my supplier said I just needed to buy 110 mesh screens. You know, that's what my supplier told me in 1979, and it was probably bad advice then too. And you know, the problem with the with screen mesh like that is that it just lays down way too much ink, and so that part of the equation has caused people to just struggle and struggle and struggle on the front end. And if you want my advice, your go-to screen is a 160, and you're probably going to have four or five different meshes on your production floor, but you know, 110 is probably not going to be one of them.
So Terry, for all those embroidery folks who really don't get their hands inky, you know, they like to play with thread and needle. What, so the higher the mesh count, the smaller or finer the opening?
Exactly right. So like when we do, in my class, we do a graphic that's an eagle with flames coming out of its wings. That's the last thing that we print on the second day of class. And we do it on a black t-shirt. We print that, we print the underbase through a 230 mesh, a very fine mesh. And, you know, a lot of people say there's no way you can get white ink through a 230 mesh, but it's all a matter of knowing how to properly do it. All the colors are 305. And yeah. I've had people call me up and say, hey, I tried to order those 305 mesh screens, but my supplier said they won't sell them to me because you can't print Plastisol ink through a 305 mesh. And of course my response is, do you still have that Eagle shirt? Yeah. Well, you printed through a 305 mesh because that's what it's burned on. Oh, okay. I'm like, you might want to call. And hey, no, Jay, no, no shade at suppliers because they, you know, they're also doing signs. They're also doing direct to garment machines. They're also doing, you know, all types of different types of equipment and supplies. So a lot of times they're just repeating back to you what they've heard at some point in time and hoping that they're helping you. And so I don't want to throw any stones at them, but you know, and give a free plug to the folks up at Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago. I've been teaching classes there for 12, 13 years, but I'm pretty selective about where I do my classes. But one of the reasons I do classes there is because every employee they have has gone to the screen printing class. If you are packing boxes in the back, you go to screen printing class. If you are the receptionist, you go to the screen printing class. And the reason being, they have an understanding when you call. I mean, they may not be able to troubleshoot for you, but they know what you're talking about. And that just impresses the heck out of me.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's just people need to, you know what they're doing, but they have to have an atmosphere of understanding and empathy. And you can't really do that as well if you've never done what the person on the other end of the phone or the person on the other end of the email is talking about. So at least you'll have some reference points. I think that's brilliant. Free shout out to Atlas. I'm not surprised. They've earned it. And I love what you said about the, it might be all they know. So they're just repeating what they were told. And I think that's, again, that goes back to kind of the problem of this topic, whether it's on the internet or whether it's a sales rep that's just repeating what he was told or she was told, you know, I think it's just time for us to kind of put some of those old, you know, those old cliches away and let's get back to experimenting, take a risk, you know, try it and find out. Why not 310? You know, if they say do it and figure out a way, why wouldn't you?
And you said something huge there, Jay. Do some experimenting, try some different things. That's where all these techniques, that's where the successful decorators come from, being willing to experiment. There's a decorator who Pierre Gymnicki, and we interviewed him. He'd only been screen printing for 3 years and he won all these awards for excellence in screen printing. And I said, how did you gain that type of knowledge in such a short amount of time? He goes, Terry, it was super easy. All I did was work about 100 hours a week and and try lots of new things. And so super easy. 100 hours a week.
Yeah. No, there it is. Formula for success. And he was willing to take a risk and try a lot of new things. I know for a fact that you and I have seen this in our own, you know, careers, if we can call them careers. I don't know if that's fair, but yours is.
We have too much fun to have to call it a job.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of fun. It is kind of fun. But the idea of the breakthroughs come on the other side of uncomfortable. And so sometimes you have to push yourself to just do something to figure it out. Even if you were told, well, that won't work. It's like, well, maybe it will if I did this, you know? And so that creative flow and those breakthroughs, you know, they always come on that other side of the uncomfortable. So I say push forward. And if people say, you know, nope, all you need is 110 mesh because, you know, what do? We do numbers on jerseys, Terry.
We do numbers on jerseys. You want something else? Well,
yeah, it's go like down the street.
Ford. You can have any color you want as long as it's black.
Oh my God.
Hey, more power to you if you can make a living putting numbers on jerseys. So,
well, let's keep
I'm a niche market guy.
Hey, listen, I've printed myself, as you know. I have some Popeye forearms from pulling manual squeegees, but the truth is there are a lot of jerseys out there and it can be profitable, so we don't want to upset anybody who has that as a big part of their business, but let's keep moving forward. We've got more bullet points. I'm starting to get nervous. I look at the clock and I look at all this info and I'm like, Terry and I, you know, Terry, we could talk about two things for half an hour. And
this is the way Aaron and I do it as well. He'll be sending me a message going, I think this show is a two-parter right about now.
right about now.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the other things. One of them is flashing between colors. And Jay, you would be shocked at how many people do that. And I'm talking about screen printing, say a four color job. You print it, you flash it, you print it, you flash it, you print it, you flash it. And it just takes so much time. The quality of the print is not as good. But it is from people on the internet who either don't have tight mesh, they don't have a machine that will hold registration, or they're using 110 mesh screens. And if you don't flash it, all that ink's getting picked up on the back of the subsequent screens. But Plastisol ink is wet on wet. You flash your underbase and print all the other colors wet on wet. So I'll leave that right there.
Yeah. Well, it's also a sign that they probably didn't get great training from someone like you. Let's be real.
Well, you know what, Jay? And when I got trained, I bought Scott Fresner's book, How to Print T-Shirts for Fun and Profit, Volume
who?
1.
I'm sorry,
issue
who?
1.
Who? Huh? Who?
Scott Fresner, the
isn't he the lead guitar player in a Pink Floyd cover band?
Pink Floyd cover band, exactly right. Anybody in the Phoenix area, Scott Fresner plays bass in a Pink Floyd cover band.
Oh,
now.
Bass. Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
Scott's awesome.
But, you know, so I'm sitting there because there weren't any classes when I started there. You know, you could go to a trade show and, man, I was that guy. I was the guy that went to every seminar and, you know, I'm just feverishly writing notes down. But that's how I got started. And obviously a lot of experimenting because how to print on jackets was, I think, four paragraphs. So, okay. I got the basics here. Now I need to ruin some jackets.
Yeah, right. Oh, and that's always fun because they're so affordable. You know, they're
exactly.
it's not like they're a $3 t-shirt. These are like $30 jackets. But I love what you said about just learning and going to those sessions and taking notes. And that's where you are going to figure out, oh, wait, I can do wet on wet printing. I just have to have all the other parameters. You know, I have to, exactly. Everything has variables and they're all interconnected. So if you mess up the first few, then that's what happens is that's when you look down on your substrate and you're like, that's a mess. It's wet on wet. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. I better flash these. So I think it's kind of, you fall back into the fear because you didn't get everything set up properly from the get-go. And this is your workaround. This is your solution.
Yeah, you know, and Jay, I don't want to fault anyone who's in the middle of a job and does what it takes to get that job done. I've done it.
Of course, we've all done it. Of course.
But I don't want to do it twice.
Well, and so, we want to encourage people to look for and be in pursuit of best practices.
Exactly right. Exactly right. A couple other points in screen printing, and I won't belabor it anymore. Pinholes. What's the advice on the internet? Just use more emulsion because. Obviously, if you're getting pinholes, and pinholes for anybody who's not a screen printer, on the third print, there's a little dot of navy ink right here. On the fifth print, there's two more dots down here. on the sixth print, there's three dots up here, and they're called pinholes, the scourge of screen printing. But the solution is to cover them up with more emulsion? No, it's not. You're just going to have the exact same issue. You're just going to spend a lot more money on emulsion. And pinholes, 99% of pinholes can be eliminated by properly degreasing your screens. And Jay, you would be, you know, you speak at ASI all the time. I was doing a screen printing seminar at ASI, and it was just mainly for people to understand the process. None of them were going to actually do it. But I had two gentlemen in there that had been screen printing for 20 years, and they came to that session just because they were having a pinhole issue. And so when I said properly degreasing the screen, they both looked at each other like, huh? I've never done that before. I didn't know that was a part of the process. 20 years of scotch taping the backside of your screen.
Yes, yes. Lots of tape. Oh, man, I know that feeling. Like, oh, tape. Or what's that little product that you get the little toothpick and you drop it in and then you try to...
Block out.
Yep. Thank you. Yeah, see, I've been there. I walked that walk. No, that's so fun. But those guys, obviously, Terry, you were a resource and they hadn't heard. They didn't have the information or the proper education to get going. And they only know what they know, right? So
Exactly. I'm gonna give one more quick point on screen printing. That is, there is a perfect white ink. You just have to find it. And because there's so many people say, okay, I use Union colors, but I use Wilflex white. The next person says, all my colors are Wilflex, but I use International Coatings white. I use all International Coatings colors, but I use Wilflex. Okay, it's a cycle, right? Yep. And it's because people don't know how to properly use white ink. When I go into, they don't even ask me anymore. I would go in to teach a new class. And, you know, one of the first things, okay, what's your preferred white ink that we can get to use? I know everybody's got their favorite white ink. And my response is always, which one do you have that's open? That's the one I want to use. Because, and primarily this, people try to use white ink as a color in the graphic, if it's a multicolored, like for a white underbase. Mm-hmm. So on an American flag, they're going to print white and they're going to print red and they're going to print blue. You have to lay down so much ink to get a bright white that it affects the image. That's a four-color print, an underbase white, red, blue, and then a highlight white. And that print's going to be a fraction of the thickness. It's going to be bright and crisp. So it's not a matter of finding that perfect white ink. It's learning how to properly use that white ink. So, I almost called you Aaron, man. It's so...
No, you did. I figured that's going to happen a time or two. I'm prepared for it.
It's harder with Aaron and Eric. I keep tripping over their names all the time.
That would be challenging. That's why you guys went with E-Rich, right?
E-Rich. E-Rich, the rapper, the DJ.
Well, are we ready to move forward out of screen printing and into the DTG world, the digital world? Leave those analog screen printers behind and let's join the digital revolution.
Let's join the revolution.
Well, there are just as much misinformation, just as many, old band-aids on the internet, let's call them what they are. And even though this is about a 16, 17 year old, yes, there were some projects happening before that, but from about the time you guys at US Screen Print and Inkjet Technology really came out on the scene with the T-Jets, that's when we realized, okay, DTG is here to stay. It's going to continue to evolve. And as it's evolved, Terry, guess what? So has the information. So have the techniques. So has the training. And so we've got a lot of great points to cover here.
Well, the unfortunate thing for DTG is it came about during the internet age. And so the opportunity for bad information to get out there started on day one. And so this is one I read just about 2 weeks ago on the internet. Save money, use Teflon sheets. And what I'm talking about is when you go to cure that shirt, rather than putting silicone coated parchment paper that you can only use four or five times and throw away, this person said, just use a Teflon sheet like you would for transfers or for cut vinyl, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm, and you can just use it over and over and over again. But Jay, as you well know, the problem with that is to cure water-based ink, you have to evaporate the ink. Well, the Teflon coated sheet holds that moisture in, and it may look and feel dry, but it's, you're going to have washability issues. And so that's where you get people say, well, DTG is okay, but you know, you can only get about five washes. Well, if you do it right, it's going to wash like a screen print, as you know.
It's so crazy to me. It's like, I feel like it's our job to go around and say, this is how you do it. This is the process. This is how it works. This was the way it was intended to work. Everybody else is messing it up. And so I know sometimes screen printers feel like that. I know sometimes sublimators feel that way. Embroiderers feel that way. It's like, if they would only listen, Terry. Yeah, there's a reason.
When you and I were talking about doing this show about a week or so ago, you made the comment. I was talking about, you know, the misinformation, and you made the comment, because you should listen to us. Our information is correct. Sarcastically, by the way.
Well, listen, we try to be truth seekers where we both work. We're lucky enough to be employed by Equipment Zone. Shout out to our employer. But it's true across the board, whether you have a brother printer or some other brand name of DTG printer, we're giving you the information so that you can have success. This has nothing to do with a specific line of printers. This is more about the process and eliminating errors. And in a water-based ink environment, you can't seal. You're literally sealing like an envelope the heat. And so there's nowhere for that steam or that evaporative to go. It just sticks right there. And so, Teflon sheets are great for other purposes, but there's a reason that we use the products that we use in DTG printing.
Yeah, exactly. So Jay, at the top of the show, I mentioned that sometimes there's a little bit of misinformation intentionally put out there in the world of the internet. And here's one of these. And this is actually someone called me and was saying this to me on the phone. He said, well, I was talking to XYZ company and they said, our machine will fix that 72 DPI file for you and print it perfectly. And I said back to this gentleman, I said, and you believe that was true? And he goes, I wanted to believe it was true. And I said, and was it? And he goes, no, it wasn't true. That's why I'm calling you.
Yeah, but, I don't know how. What kind of salesperson? Sorry, I'm just gonna have to. I work with a lot of great sales reps, so it's always surprising to me when I do hear these. And we do. We're not making these up. This is feedback that we literally have received over the years, both in person at trade shows as well as through the education and the training that we both do. It's crazy to me. It's like, where did you hear that? Who would have told you that? You know, I feel like let's hunt that person down. Right?
Right. Banish them from the kingdom of garment decorating.
Take their keys away. You will never post on the internet again. Shame on you. Your machine will not fix a file. It is the classic GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. It is only going to print at the resolution at which that original file was served up to the printer. The printer just, it's an output device. That's it. End of story. It doesn't fix your file.
We can perfectly replicate that crappy file on a shirt for you.
Nothing says I love you more than a pixelated, stair-stepped, jagged-ass edge. There, I said it.
You did. You said it right out loud.
Dropped it. Boom. That's a mic drop. Thank you, Aaron Montgomery.
Well, I only have one more real quick one on DTG because I know we're running along, as I tend to do. You can't make money with direct-to-garment. Ink price is too high. Production is too slow. And there are, I think that's one of those things, Jay, where that's a decorator from a different world who wants to believe that's true because direct-to-garment scares them to death. And I'm specifically talking about screen printing because a lot of screen printers have this fear that direct-to-garment's going to put them out of business. And, you know, when I used to teach the screen printing classes at US Screen, and at the same time, we were coming out with the T-Jet 1. It was just the T-Jet at the time because, like World War II, it wasn't World War I until there was a World War II. It wasn't T-Jet 1 until there was a T-Jet 2. But I remember Scott, and he's since come back and said, you're right. But he would walk into the screen printing class and say, screen printing will disappear in 2 to 3 years. Thanks for flying in for the class. Here's Terry. And before he could get out of the room, I would say that is absolutely incorrect. This is just another awesome tool for we decorators, for Jay, you know, your screen printer, for all those screen printers that when somebody walks into your shop and says, I'm having a family reunion, and you're like, please have 150 people in your family. And no, 17. It's little Susie's a 2.4, and my Uncle Bob, you know him, he's a 4X, and I really don't want to pay for extra screens.
Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob, it's all about you, man, with that little tiny print in the middle of your chest. But Direct-to-Garment is such a great tool for a screen printer to say, okay, hey, come back in 2 hours. I'll have those for you. But when that person comes back and says, but I need 500 of these, man, fire up the presses. So yeah, it's just a tool in the process, and it's not something to be afraid of. Ink prices are higher than screen printing. You know, you're in, depending on what machine you have, you're maybe $2 for a full front print on a color shirt, or or with the newest machines, maybe $1. But in screen printing, it's probably 3 cents, because you know, you scoop all the ink back into the container, and it's like, well, it looks like I didn't even use any. And production's too slow. Yeah, it is slower than screen printing, but a full color image, and you want three of them, and you want them this afternoon, it's the perfect tool. There are very few screen printers who either aren't already doing DTG or seriously thinking about it right now, because the marketplace has changed, Jay. You know, it's an Amazon world.
It's the demand that's pushing this as much. I couldn't agree with you more. We could talk all day about just that topic. You and I both know that. But I do want to just make one small sub point here. Is I also want people to understand that the technology advances, that the inks get better, the chemistry is better now than what it was, you know, 15 years ago. I also want people to know that the speeds get better. So the production is going up, the cost is going down, the gap is getting wider. So when we used to say, you could easily print 25 full color front shirts, you know, digitally. Well, the number then went to 30, then it went to 50, you know, and so it's moving forward, kids. So pay attention. That's part of the issue with this whole premise, is what was true 5 years ago changed. And so don't hang your hat on misinformation from 5 years ago, just because it's still active and alive on some forum. And I'm not going to mention the forum, but I'm going to let you know that if somebody posted something from 2016, it probably is dated. Just saying. Okay, there, that was my soapbox.
You know, Jay, here's a simple DTG one. And just recently somebody asked me about this. There was a time where when you dried your pre-treat on the shirt, you had to use uncoated paper, because if you use silicone coated paper, it would make that pre-treat on the shirt look shiny. So you had to have the uncoated paper for your drying the pre-treat. You had to have your coated paper so the ink wouldn't stick to the paper. But all the chemistry now for pre-treating, that's not necessary anymore. You just use one silicone coated paper. But this person said, well, I know I need both these papers. And I said, how do you know that? I read it on the internet. And also, it's not the internet's fault, because the person who posted that might have posted it 10 years ago. It's still out there floating around.
That's,
you know?
Right. So that's right.
Just those pictures that you posted from Cancun that time.
Hey, come on. Let's not, this is a family-friendly show, Terry. Let's not get carried away. My word. I thought you were going to bring those up. So moving right along to sublimation.
Yeah, so we asked Aaron to give us some sublimation points. So I'm going to read his first one. And anybody who's a regulator probably already knows this. This is a thing that Aaron's crusade is about, this. Dipping your mugs after pressing. Aaron's crusade is don't ever, ever, ever do that. And he gets animated about it. So this is, you can tell when you're passionate about your industry, when like somebody like Aaron, his eyes kind of flare and flash when you say, well, then I dip the mug in water.
Yeah, he stops breathing and his eyes turn red and he starts to you can see him getting a little aggravated.
It's like in the League of Their Own. We're going to go over that next year.
Well, we can't make fun of Aaron, because when he does get passionate, it's because of his personal experience. It's because he's got a trainer and a teacher's heart, and he wants to see people succeed. So that's one of the things we appreciate about him.
So Aaron says, even in lukewarm water, and we're talking about heat pressing or sublimating on, a coffee mug, and folks will say dip it in water to cool it. And Aaron says, even in lukewarm water, you're creating micro cracks in the ceramic. And he said, this is an old Band-Aid, for poor coating methods and that type of thing. So Aaron Montgomery, just remove the transfer, put the mug on a cooling rack, a cooling stone, or on concrete, and that will dissipate the heat. And if anyone is suggesting it, I would be leery of their mugs and the quality of their coating. So interesting little side note there from Aaron. Aaron's creating some intrigue in the industry from Kansas City right now. So
he is. It's amazing. He can almost be in two places at the same time. But you know, this is, again, a tip of the cap to all of the hosts, really, you, even Eric, of course, and Aaron, is that you guys are often in a position of training. And when you have that subject matter expertise and you're willing to impart that, you know, as the trainer, you want to be correct. So you need to have the right information. And that's one of the things that I can appreciate about all three of you, and is to put my appreciation and trust into listening to what you've had to say. So here's another one that Aaron shared with us, and he gives us kind of the lay of the land, the two pillars that we must know, time and temperature. So he says 400 degrees for 40. Did I say it right? No, 400 degrees for 60 seconds. This is the time and temperature has been used as the correct setting for all sorts of items, right? Well,
guess what?
Yeah, that's all you need to know. The two pillars, 460. Well, guess what? According to Aaron and those in the know, it's another Band-Aid for poor testing. It was just a catch-all to make sure that that transfer actually released and that the process worked. But truth is, most items have a much lower time and temperature. 400 for 60 seconds will cause some things to completely black out or look brown. You'll see haloing around the edges of the print. So you have to really, back to what we said earlier about testing, practicing. I'd also do a shout out to the manufacturer of the substrates. They ought to know. By the way, they don't always. Sometimes they get caught in their own trap of just kind of doing the catch-all, as Aaron would say, but at least start there with that sublimation or substrate, and then do your own testing and your own practicing, because you want to avoid the haloing. You want to avoid those colors that look off or brown because they've been overheated. And as Aaron points out in this final sentence, it can even cause that orange peel look on thin aluminum or other hard surfaces that have the coating, where it just looks wrong because it's too hot for too long.
And, you know, we're judgy, like all decorators are very judgy, and I can't pick up a coffee mug in, you know, Sedona without looking to see if there's like a shadow, you know,
or we're doing this, we're like, wait a minute, look at that registration. That's unacceptable. I can see right here that the backing that they used was substandard, Terry.
Substandard backing. All right. Speaking of backing, let's talk about embroidery. Eric sent us three things that kind of get him worked up. And the first one is embroidery pricing begins and ends with $1 per 1,000 stitches. That's all you need to know about embroidery, apparently.
Who knew it was that simple?
And what Eric expounds on, and we all know that Eric is the great expounder, sometimes in old English, but he says every shop is unique, niches can be different, and the value you are providing and cost required to keep your business healthy and profitable will vary. And basically, you know, all of our shops are different. We have to base our pricing on how we can be profitable, how we can pay our employees, and how we can make a little extra money to buy new equipment and supplies and things like that. So, he says rule of thumb hasn't seemed to change for decades. While prices around the world continue to climb, how can that be sustainable? So as prices go up, it's like a training manual with one line on every page, you know?
Exactly. Terry, I have a question.
Yes.
For those that are listening, you can't see my tiny little hand that's raised. Little hand raised. I'm so glad that Eric made that point. I think that applies to everything. I was just going to ask you, my question is, Terry, for how many years now have screen printers been saying, well, it's $15 per setup per screen?
Oh, exactly right. And still saying it today.
Well,
and
guess what? We don't use wood screens anymore, pal, you know? And so it's like, well, sorry, if you are still using those, I recommend you talk to Terry. the truth is that, like Eric said, you know, it's like, it can't have the same pricing from 1986. There's just no way.
Well, and you know, maybe that dollar per thousand stitches, this embroiderer over here on the left side of the street, they're making profit upon profit. The embroiderer on the other side of the street charging the same thing loses money on every order because all of our situations are unique. And yes, we have opportunities to streamline and be better at what we do, and therefore be more profitable. But you know, you have to base your pricing on what you can accomplish today, not what you wish you could accomplish. Because and that's the same with your production schedule. You can't base it on what everybody else is doing. You can't base it on what you wish you were doing. You have to base it on what you're doing today. And that's sometimes a hard pill to swallow, but
it's tough. It's tough as a business owner, Terry, because you're thinking, you know, you have this fear of this pressure. And by the way, fear is fake. Fear is a lie. Okay. So first of all, let's set that in the corner. The reality is that there is a market, and there may be somebody who is profitable at $15 per screen per setup or $1 per thousand stitches, right? Well, guess what? Your shop could be different, as Eric and Terry have both said. And the truth is that you need to know where you give value. Okay. And then work backwards from true costs and then work on profitability. If you're delivering value and you're profitable, guess what? You're in the sweet spot, and you could charge $1.75 per thousand stitches or some other crazy unique number, because that's what's going to apply to you and your shop.
Exactly right. I want that. I want what you're showing me, that they, how much I pay for per stitch is not important to me as the quality of what you're doing. So
I'm sure you went to Sedona and bought that hat or that shirt, and you thought, well, I don't think I want to buy this because the cost per stitch per thousand, you know, you're looking at the graphic. Does it fit? Is it a color I like? Does it feel good? You know, you're not. Don't get me started, Terry.
I have a dated comment that I always make, and Aaron makes fun of me. And speaking of being in the sweet spot, Aaron is waiting in the lobby
who?
Right now.
I'm sorry, who?
Aaron
who's
is waiting in the guy whose seat that you've taken for the last. Oh,
that guy.
but I always say, you know, when I went to see the Stones, did I know how much that T-shirt cost to make? Yes. Did I pay $40 for one? Yes, it was the Stones, you know. That's is in the eye of the beholder.
He means the Rolling Stones. And by the way, they're now $75 per shirt. So that's how we know he's dated, because $40, we're like.
And it was dated for me to go to the concert. They're still touring. So
insane. Well, we've got one more, or do we need to bring
let's just do one more.
Okay.
Let's do one more, Jay, for Eric, and then we'll move on.
Great. Well, listen, this is something that I know he's passionate about. So Eric, the man, has left us with some words of wisdom. Having registration problems with your embroidery? I've got the answer for you, Terry. It's always the stabilizer. No, it's not. It's not always the stabilizer.
The embroiderers over here are about to go crazy in the comments, yeah, I think.
I know. What the hell does Jay know about embroidery? Okay.
Embroidery.
The answer isn't always in the stabilizer, especially if you're adding several pieces to the garment. It's important, as Eric has constantly reminded us, to have the correct stabilizer to arrest, notice the word, to arrest stretching and movement in the hoop. Now, those are technical terms. When I was arrested, it was a totally different thing. Other issues, including the sequence of your design. The sequencing of your design. You know, what part starts where and why, the amount of compensation, how much you are allowing natural forces that you've applied by the shapes that you're sewing. There's so many factors. It is not just the stabilizer. So do not rest your hat on a bulletproof statement. Like, the answer is stabilizer. Well, it's got to be the stabilizer. So Eric can go into at least an hour, I would call it a documentary, on this topic alone. And so this is one of those things that embroiderers are like, oh, it's like everything else, right, Terry? That so many variables that are interconnected, one down here can relate to the one over here. And so we have to kind of get all of these things organized and make sure that we are prepared so that there aren't these foolproof, bulletproof type, broad brush, wide sweeping answers where one size fits all. That's a lie. One size does not fit all, kids.
Ryan Morse medium does not fit everyone.
It doesn't fit me.
In fact, no one I know, but except for him. All right, Jay. So instead of five things today, although I'm fully capable of playing the five things intro.
You are capable. Necessary. You have been trained and you are prepared. However.
But we are going to check in with Aaron at the DAX show and see what's going on over there.
Can't wait.
All right.
Look at that, Aaron.
Hey, you did it.
He's there. You're at a trade show.
Jay, are you helping him?
I'm not doing a damn thing. I'm what they call the talent, the good looks. Duh.
Yeah. Exactly. He's the talent this time. Yeah. All right. So Aaron, your first show back since the pandemic. What's it like for you personally?
Wow. You know, the crazy part is this was the actual location of the last show that I was at in 2019.
Oh, we did ThreadX
afterwards, but talking to Clay from Corel Trainer, and I said, yeah, last time any of this stuff was out was just right over there 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. So,
anyhow, I the internet's pretty terrible here. I'm here in Kansas City. I heard about this show, the two regular guys. I thought I'd check in and see. It looks really fun. And
it's a mess. It's a mess. You know it. We need you back, Aaron.
No, you guys are doing awesome. I've tuned in a couple times and checked it out. I appreciate you guys being here. Like I said, the internet's terrible here. And so instead of continuing to struggle and mess up the perfectly good show you guys have put together, I just want to say hi. I want to say thanks. I will try to get some more reporting done from the show floor. Very busy right now, actually. So I took a picture of kind of the lineup before the show opened and lots of attendees.
Fantastic. Yeah, that awesome. Sounds awesome, Aaron.
All right, you guys. Bye.
See you later.
See you, Aaron. We miss you.
All right. All right. Hey, we're going to end the show on time again. So I will say it yet again. In your face, Aaron. It's always you, man. I always felt like it was me, though, because I kind of get long-winded sometimes. You probably don't know that about me, Jay.
I do not know that about you, Terry.
Let's talk about some upcoming events. My complete screen printing business course at Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago is going to be August 21st and 22nd. I'll be at DAX Chicagoland on August 27th. I'm going to be doing a half-day seminar, 8:30 to 12, and it's called Am I Doing This Right? Pro tips for screen printing. Part of it's going to be hands-on. So looking forward to doing that. Everybody's going to go home with something you need, a t-shirt that you printed yourself. Maybe you're not a screen printer. You're coming to the class. So Aaron is also going to be teaching at the upcoming Applique Getaway, greatest name ever for a show, July 23rd through 25th. On the 23rd, he's going to be doing Going from Hobby to Business, Five Keys to Success. On the 24th, on Saturday, Conquer Fear and Live to Tell About It. And you can sign up for that at appliquegetaway.com. He's going to be doing our success group at DAX Kansas City, as he's doing right now. OSG will be in booth 218 today with the inflatable couch, I'm guessing. And here's my warning. Once you get in it, you're probably going to need some help getting out unless you just roll off onto the floor. That's what I do. and our success group will be at all three of the DAX shows. So also Minnesota.
Terry, I had that flashback of when I took a picture of you and Aaron in that giant hammock. I don't remember what trade show we were at, but you two both got in. And the best part was the pictures were great, but I was like, I only wanted to see how they were going to get out.
It was a huge hammock in the middle of the trade show floor. I think it might have been in Irving, Texas a couple of years ago.
I'm not exaggerating when I say it was at least 15 feet long by like 12 feet wide. It was the biggest hammock I've ever seen.
It was family sized or just me and Aaron, but yeah. depending on the size of your family.
Sorry, I interrupted your important announcements.
Well, Eric and Aaron are going to be doing the half that's coming up at 11:30 Central Center of the Universe time. That will be 9:30 for us, Jay. And you can go to liveosg.com and find the half. And that's where Jay, I assume you know about this show, but maybe not. Dead on 30 minutes, they cut it off, and usually mid sentence on one of or the other. So it's kind of a great concept. We should probably do that here.
And they start talking really fast as they get to the end because they know it's
because this is really a book. But you didn't have to hear them say important.
Important.
When did people stop saying important and start saying important?
they dropped that middle T. I don't know why. I think it's a regional thing.
It's kind of a thing for me. But Jay, what do you got coming up?
Well, listen, I'm fired up. I'm jealous because Aaron's at his first trade show. I'm going to mine next week. I travel out Monday. So I'll be at the ASI show in Chicago next week. I've got four training sessions that I'm doing, two specific to LinkedIn. No real surprises there. I am pretty excited about it because I've started that side project that some of you know about called Flex Point. And so this is kind of the first official Flex Point education session. So look, if you're in the promo or apparel space and you're in Chicago, I strongly recommend you go because it's going to be a blast, not just because I'm there. In fact, that's probably the last reason to go. Just go because, you know, we need those trade shows. We need that social interaction. But I'm still excited to figure out what's going to happen in addition to trade shows. We'll have that discussion on another Two Regular Guys podcasts. So I'll also be at the Impressions Expo show in Fort Worth. I'll also be a presenter at Shirt Lab with Jeffrey Gittimer, Tom Round, Marshall Atkinson, Eric Campbell, and several other amazing guests also in Fort Worth after Impressions in September. So that's what I'm doing. Let's go to Eric. Guess what? I have to say what he's doing, don't I? Because Eric's not
there's
here.
A little note right by his
there's
name.
There's a little thing. It says, Jay, you're going to tell what Eric says. Eric will be teaching Elevate Your Embroidery Digitizing workshop in Dax, Kansas City later today? Like as in today?
I believe so.
I think he's there, and I think he's fired up to be a trainer. If you're at the show, you can still sign up. Catch him later. If you're not there, you can see him in Minnesota, right, or in Chicagoland at future DAC shows. Go to DACshows.com. Eric's also got his own show, as you know, The Take-Up, but it's off this week, so you're going to have to postpone that for the next time. Let's see. What else has he got going on? EricCampbell.com, The Take-Up. Oh, Understanding Emblems, Digitizing Production Styles and Sales. That's a mouthful. Understanding Emblems, Digitizing Production Styles and Sales. That's now available as a recording, so check it out at decorators.education. That's something that he'll want us to know about, and you should if you're an embroiderer. Eric is your man. So what's going on? He'll also be at the Fort Worth Expo, Impressions Expo, Terry, as will you, right?
I will not be in Fort Worth.
What? That can't happen. Yeah. You're an institution. Don't they have a statue of you out front?
No, it is a guy in a cowboy hat who looks good in a cowboy hat. But it's well, not listen, me.
Terry, I would like to invite you to the Impressions Expo show, even if you just come to enjoy the show.
I did that in Irving, which is, you know, the other side of town here a month or so ago. So I did make it out to a trade show first. So
right on. You were first. Well, what other trade shows are coming up, brother?
We have, obviously, DAX is going on today and tomorrow. Graphics Pro Expo in the Meadowlands. That's Secaucus. For anybody who's ever gone to New York City on the train, that's where you change trains before you went into the city. That's their claim to fame. That's going to be July 15th and 16th. Again, the Applique Expo in Fort Worth, July 23rd through 25th. And I mentioned DAX Minnesota. That is going to be August 3rd and 4th. And Jay, you and I will be out at Graphics Pro Expo in Long Beach, August 12th through 14th. So
that's the rumor. It's circling around. It was on the internet. So maybe it applies to this show. Misinformation we read on the internet. But this case, you never know. We're going. I'm excited.
Even if we don't have that booth, we're going to have a booth there. But even if we didn't, you and I were going to drive out anyway. So
that's right. We're bringing a tent and a backpack. And if that's all we have, we're just going to set up. What are they going to do? Kick us out? Come on.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's wrap things up, Jay.
Let's do so. Shall I wrap things up by the rest of the shows, or Terry, what should I do? Wrap things up.
we're just going to say goodbye to everybody and thank the regulators. And I want to thank you, Jay, for jumping in, being co-host today.
It was a huge honor. I hope folks that are listening realize that this show brings value. So even though you may see my personality is kind of all over the place, a little loud, a little sassy, sometimes snarky, I do want to say that this is a joy for me to do it. You and Aaron deliver amazing content. So proud to be one of the regulators, one of the part-time regular guys, and obviously all the work Eric Campbell does behind the scenes. So it's an honor to be here. So thank you for letting me co-host. Thank you for letting me fill in Aaron's giant sublimated shoes.
And those sublimated socks, that's all he wears. But and speaking of Aaron, hey, thanks, Aaron, for coming in at the end of the show and all the prep work you did to help get us going for this week, since I hadn't run the board for a couple of years. So we had a Monday holiday get together and we did more chit chatting than getting ready for the show. But as always, we want to thank Eric Campbell. Eric was like, I think I could fit it in and come and work on the show. But even though I'm doing this seminar, and like, Eric, take a week off, buddy. You do too much already.
Well, and both Aaron and Eric will be back next week, right?
Right. Exactly.
And guess what? I heard they're interviewing somebody famous. Did you hear that?
I did hear that. She used to be the third regular guy. She used to be on the show so much.
The third regular gal, I think, wasn't it?
No. Yeah. It was two guys, a girl, and a t-shirt. It used to be a TV show called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Shop. It was two guys, a girl, and a t-shirt. She actually came up with that.
That's hilarious.
But it's Andrea Bomarito of ZSK.
Awesome. And guess what? She'll be discussing all things embroidery. So you'll want to tune in. It'll be an interesting look because it's going to be both Eric, Aaron, and Andrea. Terry, you're out. I'm off. I may never be back. Let's be honest, after today.
Not true at all. It's been awesome, Jay. But until then, until next week, I'm Terry Combs. He is Jay Bissell sitting in for Aaron Montgomery.
And we are two regular guys.
Here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.